environment. He's also conducting with many American universities in the past a workshop situation where they come, it's called Sicily Lab, and we in the past actually used our third year students that came with us to Italy, to Verona, to participate in that Sicily Lab studio. And this is a kind of a short type of workshop where American students, or I think also other European universities, they can come and they get kind of an introduction to the urban situation in Italy and in Sicily, and then they do kind of ad hoc, spontaneous, short week kind of design solutions to problems that they identify. Then to the person of Professor Sadri, one should maybe add that he studied also in the U.S. At Carnegie Mellon. Yeah, so he in the past and was teaching also in Carnegie Mellon. So he has experience in the academy in Italy as well as in the U.S. Then he is one collaborator, I would say, or I don't know how to maybe better say that, in Italy, initiated a book series which originally was or is still an pure architecture series, yeah, where there's monographs published about architects. And this was, I think, the beginning. And then, did you start the IT revolution?
The IT revolution was part of the large part originally.
But was your idea originally, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So
yes,
then,
yes.
And then you started another book series, which is called The IT Revolution in Architecture. And it's probably the only written, I would say, book series in the world that actually tackles the problematic of technology, yeah, of this kind of revolutionary changes through technology and architecture. And that is started many, many years ago, and now is maybe 25 books that were published on various topics from...
38.
Hmm?
38.
So we have 38 books already, and they range from topics, let's say, of how Frank Gehry tackles technology and architecture to Ben van Berkelen on studio, to topics specifically to software. So really a wide range, and he will probably give you a visual link to where you find that kind of book series. Besides maybe the fact that he himself wrote many, many books, I think maybe 20 plus books for himself on topics in architecture. So it's also maybe as a, in Italy we say personaggio, but it's maybe the person that is the foremost thinker maybe in architecture about the questions of technology and architecture and those kind of revolutionary changes, right? So he goes to many conferences, he's present in many symposiums, where he initiate discussions and ideas about the kind of problematic. Yeah. So, and then, yeah, maybe I should say he worked very closely with Bruno Zevi. Bruno Zevi is deceased already, but is one of the foremost architectural thinkers in Italy and historians. And he was working with him, and Bruno Zevi has initiated a book series on architecture. And together with him, they started the IT Revolution series in architecture, which now he basically guides by himself. So I would say welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Professor Sadri, that you share your time with my students in my class, and we have also other students from other levels and classes that come in, and I'm excited to hear about what we talked about today. And feel also free, after he is done with the presentation, if there's any questions, etc., related to what he presents, or also maybe to your current projects. And then he will stay longer this afternoon, and then my studio will make some presentations of the status of the current work, and Professor Sadri will make comments on that student work as well as we proceed until the next lecture in the building today, which I would also recommend. Let me finish maybe like that. I would recommend that you all are present maybe at the lecture that we have today from Huckabee, and just to understand kind of a bit how he, and he, you know, he's a, not only an architect but a Board of Regents member, and is maybe not alone, but he's with deciding who will be the new dean of his college. So we have a board of regents member, which are typically the ones who sign off on the, for example, also on faculties or tenure positions in the college, but also on dean searches, etc. Yeah? But he's also on a search committee himself. So he's selecting basically the new dean, and also is then signing off and approving who will be the dean. Okay, so you all want to be aware about this situation, that somebody is on a committee and also approving at the same time. Okay, so please go to the lecture later on.
I need a DBGA table to project.
There should be one somewhere here. Okay, students, you came a little bit later. I just made a little introduction. Or you can, if you don't have enough chairs, maybe you want to go there in the front, you don't see anything. You go in there in the middle. Feel free to, there's some more chairs back there.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, is that long enough?
Oh, here we go. Good. Exciting to have all these students.
So maybe let me repeat to you again, just very shortly, and I want to make a second introduction.
How are you?
The lecture is from Professor Nino Saggio from La Sapienza in Rome, and he is directing a PhD program in research in architecture. But he's also the editor of a very important book series called The IT Revolution in Architecture. It has right now reached about 38 volumes discussing topics of technology on a wide range in architecture. Okay, so that's just for you guys to have some introduction.
Okay.
Is it laptop on the floor?
Yeah,
put on before. Okay, here we go. That's not, I do it, Jeremy. You want one?
I just think one would be better for me. Thank you. Okay. What do you think? Is it better one or two? What do you think? I never had two. I am rather exciting to have two. Now, I realize, let's have two, yes, since it's so simple. I never had this in my life, so.
I don't really know why we have two.
It gets more exciting, I think that's. Okay. Very good. Okay. So I feel pretty much at home here. So the conversation, the speech is intended to be a kind of seminar format. So that's why I like to be all around, more or less, pretty much. I love you guys move out of my shoulder. This is kind of an old guy thing.
I'd
like, since we are like here, I can see everybody. It's something that I like. So when the others arrive, you tell them not to go there because that is Italian, a little bit crazy. Yes, it's a problem. So anyway, I was here already twice, and I think we run together with Professor Pongratz three workshops in Sicily. So I kind of knowing the culture, the student type here at TTU, and I feel a little bit at home and very comfortable. So what we're going to do will be, I will say, 1 hour and 15 minutes or 20 minutes, something like that. So I will not really kill you, but almost. A kind of intellectual path in what I'm doing. Of course, it is more or less selected towards what you may be one way or the other interested in. So the idea is that you pick something out of this menu and then you will do something with it. That is the idea.
and we can interact after the lecture, or if you really need making questions during the lecture, and definitely after in the review. Things that I have to add to this wonderful presentation and very precise presentation that I recognize very much in what Professor Pongratz said is that I will add that we are also personal friends, and then you will understand and feel that. And basically, I followed a lot of steps of the academic career of Professor Pongratz and Professor Perbellini. So I'm really happy to be here with you. So the only thing that you really need to go about what we're going to happen after this is just my name. My name is Antonino Saggio. You just put Antonino Saggio down in Google and you have the first choice, and the first choice is my website. Now, it is my style that is what I'm doing in every lecture is not a PowerPoint that is privately contained in my computer, but is out there. So you can see and look at all the material and follow the links, particularly if you are interested. So the idea is to share all the material from this moment on with you. The little trick that I do, I announce the lecture, but there is no link to go. So friends of mine, look, they know the trick that I'm doing since ages, that is to put a hidden link, that only the people that are in the lecture right now, they know where it is. So you are the only people that knows where is the link, the hidden link to go to the lecture. And for some particular reason, I don't know, I was in Texas or something, I wanted to put it in the stadium over here. So clicking the stadium of Rome, we are jumping into the lecture that we are going to give now. Okay, and so you have access of everything. Later on it will be public, but for now, and with the audio too, but for now it is only private for you to know. What is the topic? Okay, the topic is how you can address projects within the existing city, and particularly in this case we are working of an European city, and particularly in Rome, but the methodology to a certain extent will be similar in other similar situations. So how you go about to transform the existing city? And on top of that, what the lecture will focus, how you can do that working primarily on infrastructure. What type of new type of infrastructure you have to create in order to create that approach. So this is the topic. So we are going to go into that. But before, since I was talking with Professor Pongratz before, a little bit of something that could be interesting to share. He said, touch a little bit on some of your thinking or in the information technology, something that will refer this work with the larger thing. So I decided just to start to only share with you two thoughts that for me are important. The first one with this strange image that for me is a lot of interest, you are going to understand why I put this one, is the difference between instrument and tools, that I think it is absolutely crucial for us and for people that are working within technology and within information technology particularly. You know, it is interesting to think a little bit what is the difference between instrument and tool, and really think a little bit about that. Now, Every one of you that plays a musical instrument, like a guitar or even a drummer or a piano, they will never imagine to can refer to that instrument as a tool. They know very well that the instrument
is on one side a very important challenge. It's a continuous challenge. And on the other side, they know that there is some kind of intellectual engagement between you and the instrument. And so that concept was brought up very, very beautifully by a philosopher that was called Alexander Coiré, that was saying that the instrument is profoundly different from the tool because the instrument is a materialization of the spirit. So this idea that the instrument is the materialization of the spirit is an incredible, powerful definition and applies all the way through to a different way that we are dealing with the advancement of technology and particularly the relevance of information technology. Because everything that we've been trying to do in the last 25 years or so, from the beginning of this book series and on, was really the idea that information technology is not just an extension of your basic capability, which is what a tool is. You know, a tool is the extension of your basic capability. A hammer is a tool. But instead is an instrument. That means that it's a constant challenge that push you in thinking in different ways, and it's a constant, in a way, the information is also a little bit of, the information technology and the instrument is also a little bit of a crisis at the same time, because push you towards new things. When you have this robot sitting down there in the basement, that guy over there is not only a toy, is a big challenge, what you are going to do with it, and how all your vision of architecture will change, and what you can do new, etc. So why there is this baby over here, you will think. Since I'm also a little bit sharing a little bit of the American culture, I was thinking a lot about these things referring to America. And looking at these things from a person that was a faculty here, but at the same time it is an Italian eradicated, I think, oh, really, over there in America, really, what they had done in certain way was really possible only because they have this strong, very strong relationship between something that, some instrumentality that they had, that they could do certain things out of that. So in other words, how you can imagine to conquer the West if you don't have a carro, okay? What's the name? Carro? Come si chiama? A chariot? How you call this? A wagon? Yes. How you can conquer the West without a wagon? So the wagon is at the same time the instrument to do that and the materialization of that idea. And if you do a couple of steps before that, and you're thinking of the Pennsylvania rifle is another incredible instrument for the first phase of the conquer of America. Because all those people were out there in the forest alone with the Pennsylvania rifle, and that was about it. And with that they were able to do everything. So if you move a next step forward towards our time and you start to think of the revolution of the personal computer and particularly all the people that work on that as a dream of liberation. So I feel that even if in American culture you say tooling all the time, but some are really instruments because they incorporate very powerful idea and then very important possibilities. So that is the first concept that I wanted to share. And the second one, this is the book series. If you click on some of this, I think here, you can go and see the book series in different edition, because actually it was in Italian, in English, and also in Chinese. I don't know if anybody reads Chinese anyway. So if you click on here, you see all the English versions that are 33 in English, actually, 38 in Italian. These two are the last ones. This is about Plasma Studio, an emerging studio, international, and this is by François Roche. But these are just the 32 that have been translated. All these adventures started many years ago in 1998, And the first one were done on by Gerhard Schmidt in Information Architecture, by Presidenza on Hyperarchitecture, this book on Digital Iceland, and so forth and so back. During this process, so our relationship within Professor Pongratz and Per Bellini lies back 98 or 99, when this book series was just started, and they wrote this book, Natural Born CAD Designers, the book was published in 2000, but it was planned, starting to plan in 98, when they were still at Peter Eisenman book. And that's the office. And this book is the first overview of what was going on in the American scene in the relationship between information technology and thinking process and research process. Each studios or each individual was studied in the combination of kind of theoretical thought and actual application. And at that time, all these guys seemed young and promising, but we are talking of Greg Lean or Annie Rashid or Carl Chu or
Jesse Reiser,
and of course Adilio Rescopidio that we put in the book, although he was already 60 at that time. But anyway, so, and then after that, we made this book, I mean, Christian and Maria Rita wrote this book, Cyberstone, that has to do a lot of their research on materiality and information technology. The book was done in the moment of passage of them from Italy to here, basically. Mm-hmm. So this covers that. So this is just to share you something that.
And those books, they are in the library.
They are all in the library.
If you don't want to make advertisement, you don't have to necessarily buy it. Also, they're not very expensive, really. They're actually fairly expensive. Some are very
expensive now. Something, if you go in Amazon, some that are very successful you will buy for $80, or some that can be still around for $2. You don't really know what's going on. But there are in all libraries, so, but in pretty much all every library. So, after that I wrote this book, that is a book without any image, there is not a single image in this book, because it's all about thinking in the relationship between information technology and the crisis and the change that is in front of us. It's organizing keywords, so there is the issue of time, how time is changed, how space is changed, what is the concept of model, so forth and so on. So if some of you is interested to go on, you can look at these things. Particularly if it is approaching problem also from a kind of theoretical perspective, or you really want to go a little deeper in understanding some interrelationship. So, I really wanted also to show something that is on the same line that has been done here, particularly with the research and the fantastic installation that you show me, in the urban downtown. What is the name?
Urban Stage.
Okay. So, Urban Stage, please consider it, is an old university and several professors that are working on that. So, it's definitely rather impressive and rather important. But talking with Christian was thought to have something that a little bit can relate that. So you will feel what we do. But this is not done at the university level. This is very important to understand. This is done by a small independent research group that is called NIPRO, that are 10 people that after graduation as a young architect continue their activity with me. So it's not a university as an institution that comes into that, but it's a group of independent people that actually put that with their energy and things. So what we are really strong on, I would say, or we are really dedicated, is make technology as an element of a very complex narrative. So there is a whole thinking and there is a complex narrative of the project. I will explain you in 1 second what I mean by narrative, in which information technology and installation become part of. So we don't start from the fact to make an installation. We end up with making an installation after a kind of a complex series of events. So I'm showing you this very briefly just to show something that some of you can be interested. So what is the narrative behind this installation? The narrative is, it is this project. In Italy, a very important moment of education is the final thesis. That still remains a very important thing for us. And the student can work at the final thesis 8 to 12 months, almost full time. So it's a kind of an important moment. And I have a certain number of qualified students that end up making this final work with them, with me, and basically the students that do this, they had already had me at least in two previous occasions, in a design studio and an information technology and architectural course. What we do, generally, we try always to start any project from a crisis. We really look hard to find what we call a crisis, a situation that profoundly needs intervention. So it's very difficult to find crises that are interesting. And at the beginning, you really don't understand why, instead of starting normally from an empty lot or another situation, you really have to tackle and to do a research for a crisis. Now you understand why. Because we think that design, architectural design and technology becomes really powerful and really impressive and really strong when you face a crisis. And that gives a lot of energy to the development of the project or other stages. So what is the crisis that we found here? I have to make the story very short, but close to Rome there are these Vulcan lakes. There are 4 or 5 of them. And a very beautiful setting, but in this particular one, during the Second World War, in the area that you see red, a factory of chemical military thing was put there by Mussolini. That was his kind of jewelry fabric, factory to make chemical poisons. So it was there. Then it was abandoned, and basically people completely forgot about this factory. Then, like 5 or 6 years ago, people suddenly noticed that poisons were dying like crazy, and even some human beings were dying. Why? Because the factory is on a slope, and of course all the poisons get through the land and arrive to the lake, making this huge problem. So, my God, what? I said to the student, this is a really fantastic crisis. How we go about this to make an architectural project? This is the challenge that all the time we have to face. All the time, but now you see how things develop. Step by step, we put a narrative out of it. We create a story that makes sense. So what we do, he started to study all the chemical factories in Italy, and we understand that there is a lot of them. So it's not one problem, it's a big problem. So there is a kind of methodological thing. So these are the pictures, the stuff that we'll find that. In that area, close, there is a university that is dedicated to botanics and agriculture. And then the student got in contact with this researcher, and he realized that in order to clean up the area, instead that the typical industrial way to do it, because there are industrial way to clean up that are very costly and rather crazy, in fact they are not doing, there are a natural way to do it, basically using vegetation. Now, in a way, something a little bit similar what happened in the Ruhr area, you know, in Germany, that was starting to this process of cleaning up using kind of more natural systems. So this is the whole study of what type of trees you can do and how to use that. So the whole idea of making the thing simple, I mean, I don't even remember what is this, they will explain all these facts, was at the end studying a type of reforestation of the area that these trees were basically sucking out the poison in a process that will take a kind of 10 years or something. So this whole area became a kind of park. That was the proposal to make the cleaning of the poisons with transforming it as a park. But still remained the problem how you can do it some architecture out of it, because at the end we have to do architectural design, not only this. So what happened is that has been designed a kind of an access system, an underground small museum that allow the visitor to enter to see the different process of cleaning, using the earth and all that. So it's a kind of a little underground museum that goes along this zigzag. And this underground museum brings you out on a, okay, this is the underground museum. And the underground museum, which is this one, brings you out on una, come si chiamano, in a kind of a deck, a passerelle, a deck, no? Una passerella, un deck. Yes, that brings you from top, where you are and where there is the beginning of this, down to the lake. So this is done, basically, this is what you see here. And this is what you see here. And actually, these things are done. There are people, there are things like that in the Alps and things like that. So the whole process, in a way, is also a system, a kind of circle or loop that we are thinking, because you cut often these trees, because they, after the cycle of bringing out the poison, they can be cut and others can be replanted. So there is all that kind of situation. Okay, so this is one project. Why I'm interested to do this, to show you what we've done and why we've done this little installation that, again, is a little installation of a tool. But installation that is called CREEAT is basically the way to push the local population to adhere to the project. So in the town, the project was shown in the boards and everything, etc. And then this installation that I'm going to show you in a second, it is kind of, how can I say, the landmark, the symbol, the effigy or whatever of that project. Mm. So the installation is not just a game by itself, but evocate different aspects of the project, particularly the trees with this interactive things, and of course all the wood and this pastoral. Okay, now we can see that here. Okay, there is a brochure.
It's like a sign.
Yeah, like a sign.
Because,
yeah.
Because on the other hand, as you say, it's often difficult because the people don't realize.
They
live in an area that is actually poisoned around them.
Yeah, and what is exciting also is that using, in this case, this, and with the aspects of technology that I'm going to show you in a second, the population was participating so excitingly to the whole thing. It was really exciting because they understood the process, and they had, of course, to activate it. Because, well, this brochure shows what it is, and it is done with rather simple electronic cutting or things that are today are really simple for an institution or for a university to do. For a small group, it's a little bit different because you have to do it everything by yourself. So the young architects did that. And then the other key aspect is that the interaction and technology, it is done with this idea that these elements over here evocated the trees, But only when you pass through, they get illuminated. So it must be an action by the population, in a way, to activate the process. Let me see if we can see very shortly the little movie, just to give you an idea what it is. Everything is very simple, but... I think in a few seconds we'll go out. So we are in the village, outside, close to the forest that we polluted. Very short, that would be over in 1 second. This is a very simple Arduino technique, but you know, there is a lot of melding, a lot of work anyway, as you surely know. There is a lot of traps, actually, out of this. Everybody knows that has done this knows how much traps is involved. Oh, something similar that you've done here for this occasion. I saw there, just to refer, you know, that we are working on things that have something that this is the key theme. It is the key that runs and the trees that get lighted while it comes. It is typical that all after this work, etc., the only person that has the time to take a 5-second movie is me, because that is the only movie that is that 5 seconds that shows the thing. So anyway, after this, we've been using this application in many other things. Now, in other occasion, and now finally moves to a museum that is a very alternative museum in Rome, so the thing sits there. What is the concept that is behind that from a technological point of view, information technology point of view, is very important, though. And is the idea that more and more I'm thinking, writing, and discussing about this, is this transformation of our space concept from what we used to think in the past and what we gradually start to think today. And you see, basically, I don't know about your generation, but our generation was really thinking that the space was an empty involucro, an empty container within which the solid, the masses, were governed through the rules of the classical physics, Newton, among everything. So we basically all are educated with that kind of pre-assumption, thinking that the space is solid and is governed by the rules of the masses and are governed by the rules of Newton physics.
Le Corbusier.
Since people are telling you this since you are 7 years old, you tend to believe that that's it. Now, the interesting in science is not that that is not true, but science works as many other things in life. Certain assumptions allows you to go from A to B and are perfectly fine to go from A to B. But if you go, in a certain moment you find a new territory that goes from B to C, and that idea cannot work anymore, or in other words, must be extended. So it's not that it's not valid, it is valid, but it is valid within a certain context. So this is a very important concept that I wanted to share with you. So our idea of space
changes is not that anymore, or in other ways, we have to have another idea of space in order to be able to operate in within today's challenge. And today's challenge is that we are in a kind of idea of space that is dominated by the presence of information. The information is in the space. And we can activate those information, transforming them in physical facts. So the information that are just there in the space are not just there navigating there. They are awaiting to be awaited by our action. So that is a completely different idea that brings you the presence of information technology in many aspects, one of which is this capability to create bridges between what you see and what you don't see, how things can be activated in different ways, and how those things are not virtual at all. They are very real and they are needed to really do things. The problem is all this is a challenge and we are moving in that territory. So when we are showing, very simple, but the idea that the space is saturated of information and in the moment in which the person passes through, sensors are activating and things are happening and trees are lighting up, or many other things may happen, of course. Just imagine what the concept of a smart city is. We are moving with this idea. So the end of this thing is that we are moving from the idea of a space as an empty thing as a space of solid thing. So space is extremely solid. It's full of things, some that we can see, something that we don't see, but we can activate in different ways. And that idea goes very much with the modern thinking about science, particularly all the quantum is moving towards that idea. The idea that really the space is solid, is done by granular things, etc., etc., etc. So just to touch a few things. Now, okay, let's move. This is a kind of an introduction, okay, to move you more or less in the territory in which we are operating. And we are operating in a way as a small institute or as a chair. So you have to understand that what I do it with 4 year students in a certain design studio. Then I do it in this information technology course on the 5th year. Then I do in graduation, that is a very important moment. Then I do in PhD research. This type of work are all focusing in different levels on a certain general themes, let's say, general topics. So we've done something that we called urban voice in a first phase. And in a second phase, we did something that is called urban green line. And now we are finishing this work that we call Tevere Cavo. So what we are doing is really thinking, as I said at the beginning, what are the strategies to contain the sprawl of the city. Now, this idea to contain the sprawl of the city is something that is not arrived in Lubbock, Texas, I'm sure. In many parts of the world, they still think that you can expand as infinity. And you may even expand without master plans, as we just discussed. But this condition is not shared in all the world, particularly is not shared in Europe, where the whole problem is instead containing the dimension of the city, continuously rework within the existing city, because that is the only sustainable way to go. Is the only way is to contain the use of agricultural soil or natural soil that is becoming more and more precious. So these are all a lot of strategies that deals with that issue. Also, it's not an issue that you exactly share, but at the same time,
I cannot tell what I would do in Texas, because I'm not working in Texas. I'm telling you what we are doing in Rome. So it's better to... But still, I'm sure some elements can be useful for this. So making the thing very, very, very as short as I can, we have a strategy that refers to the architectural projects themselves. So all our architectural projects, and we are talking of 500, 600 done in these years, are based on these five principles. The projects among themselves are very different one from the other. They didn't, even from a formal point of view, are very different, because I leave my students very free on that. But all of them share these principles that are kind of very important principle for us. So the first one is all our architectural projects are based on the concept of mixité. That means that the phase of monofunctionality is over by many, many factors, many reasons, and more we tend to have projects that are a mix of functions. Particularly, I use even in Italian this the English terms in living, producing, and exchange of exchanging. That means that all the projects must have some residential art, there must be some type of work activity happening there, and must be some money exchange happening there, so something that refers to the commerce. So all of them must have that, in different percentage. The second aspect that for us is very, very important is what we call driving force. It's true that each individual project is a combination of these functions, but each one must have a very strong driving force. What does it mean? That each project has its own very specific particularity. So, and then it can be, which is amazing, it can be working within contemporary complex society exactly by this differentiation of very strong individualization or narrative, if you want, and on the other side, that mixture of things. A very key example to make the thing very, very simple and clear is just imagining the stadium, okay? The football stadium, the soccer stadium, or whatever. Traditionally, the soccer stadium, the football stadium, or whatever, was a strictly monofunctional thing. So, was that for doing soccer, or football, or even whatever? Since it's a process of years, that we know that a stadium to work must be mixité, absolutely. It must have all those other functions, otherwise we'd not work in the contemporary society. So, all over the place, it's changing, the idea is changing, it's becoming a piece of a city, actually. But, of course, there is a driving force, and the driving force, it is football or soccer. So it's a mixture of function as everything, but there is a strong driving force. Same concept, for example, in Museum of Cars. You know, Museum of Cars is not what we think a Museum of Cars. Are 10, 15 functions all combined together.
A museum in general.
It is a museum, it is a lab, it's a place where you sell cars, it's a place where you eat, there is some residential in some of them, etc. It's again, it's a mixité, but it's a very strong narrative. So there is a very strong driving force at the same time. This concept is extremely important to understand, because it goes with the idea that there is a strong individuality, that is the narrative, and at the same time that is a mixture of functions. But the mixture of functions every time is combined. Then there is this issue that is fundamental, it is the negotiation. All our projects are based on a negotiation that is public-private. That means that all projects must be self-maintained by private organization or developers, but in a very strong negotiation with the public interest, which is the definitely game to do things. And is what is happening all the way through, and we have many projects like that, very successful in Europe, but a lot also in America. I'm coming, for example, from New York, and the whole Brooklyn park, it is really done with a very strong negotiation, public-private, and these immense things that is public is allowed by the very smart, I think, negotiation with private interests. They allow certain things to happen to have other things. So that is a very important example of negotiation here in the States. So these principles are really key to all projects. Now, you see, our story is, I want to do a jump. Okay, then all other projects have this other characteristic that we call infrastructuring. We are always talk of projects at architectural scale. We are talking about architectural scale. By infrastructuring, I mean that all the projects has to say something to the urban context within which they are. And I use the word infrastructuring and not the old word context or things like that to really underline the idea that the project must really create strong relationship that are spatial relationship with the surrounding area. So they must infrastructure in a certain way. And the fifth concept is what we call, I use these keywords, rebuilding nature. That means that we have to think ways to create our project within new cycle, ecological cycle, systems thinking, create projects that in one way use all the intelligence that we can have today in terms of technology, in terms of use of climate, use technology, etc., thinking to the idea that to a certain extent within architecture today you can have the environment even to regain. Because we can have buildings that are anti-pollution, for example. They have an active role in that and all that kind of thing. So these five principles, they must be all present in our project. Okay, these are some work and publication on the previous work that we've done that is called Urban Green Line. And I want to talk very, very briefly about that because it's the previous one and in some way has some aspect that can be of direct interest here for a situation like American cities. And actually, in America, just to think a city like St. Louis or Atlanta, there are Boston, there are places in which the tramway, che loro come non so se lo chiamano the trolley system, magari si confondono col tram, non è loro non dicono tram esattamente come diciamo noi.
Streetcar.
Yes, they call it the tramway, they get confused, I notice. So there are cities in America that also in America, actually America was very important on that, they were rethinking a system of public transport that is not underground but on the surface, and they are using this system not as only the transportation per se, but as a very integral action towards urban rehabilitation and towards particularly urban rehabilitation of existing city, of the existing part of the city. Atlanta, again, is one example, St. Louis also. So what we are doing here, to make it the thing very, very short, I wanted to show you the methodology that we are using, okay? Because this can be very interesting for some of you. How we go about to develop this project? I will show you the methodology because it's very simple, but it's something that some of you can do. All right, so what we do, so this is the project that we call Urban Green Line. What we did at the first phase, we found a sector of the city and we start to put tags on that. Okay, what are these tags? These tags are places that we call urban voids. Okay, are places that we call urban voids. That means there are vacant lots or abandoned building or anything like that in which some possible projects can take place. So we start on that. Why we do this? Because the whole philosophy is that we start to do things inside the city and not outside. So we have to regenerate the existing city, so creating economy within the existing city. So that is the strategy.
In fact, if you compare it with Lubbock, right, if you go to downtown Lubbock, you probably, and we did a mapping a few years ago with students, if you would map all the empty spaces and parking lots and add to that the empty buildings in downtown, you probably would get a black map. With a few white spots, and those are the lawyers, and there's the federal building, and this is what is occupied. Right. And there's a couple of little shops with very few.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And so it's a very...
The thing is that you have to consider that while this problem in the European cities are fundamental, still in a situation like Lubbock are not on the forefront. You have a lot of land outside, etc. But sooner or later they will arrive. Anyway, so what we do this. Then each one of these tags brings to do this, it takes 5 seconds. You create a Google map. You know, creating a Google map is the simplest thing of the world in the moment in which you have a Google account. You start putting tags, etc. So what we do after that, we create a blog. Okay. We created a blog that is related specifically to that urban empty space. So this post entry is a place in which we keep all the information related to that specific site. And then what we do, then we start to develop projects within each particular
point.
Exactly. This is what we do. Okay, let's do it again. Okay, let's see, this number 10. Now this is the area. We go here. Okay, so that's it. And now we see that in this particular area, there are 1, 2, and 3 projects. This means, 4? Okay, this means that basically over the years, there have been students, and these are design studio, so fourth year, that they do project based on those 5 principles that I was talking before, so mixité, rebuilding nature, infrastructuring, etc., each one developing their own narrative so they understand what can be happened there, find alliance locally, so they find virtual client or association that have to do that, and then they present all the work in a blog. So here is the whole blog of the whole story of that specific project that this person did. And so everything it is collected there from the beginning to the end. And at the same time, this is a very simple system, but extremely efficient because they can create a relationship one with the other. At the same time, they can call up the client and say, look at this. So we move this type of guerrilla attack to the city because it's really like that. Because the studio works that we have 50 students that do 15 different projects in 50 different sites based on the same principle, but each of them is an independent designer. And this gives a lot of enthusiasm because they think that they can do something that makes sense. And of course there is a negotiation not only with all the other aspects, but with us, the teachers. But so this is the first step. What is the second step? Is after a while, I realized that by myself, then I saw that it has to be like that, that it's not possible to really have the economy and to have really this project happening if you don't do some intervention at the infrastructure level in the city. You need infrastructure to do things. And basically the traditional infrastructure was the infrastructure that allowed the city to expand, right? Street, sewage, electricity, highway, etc., railroad. How you can expand if you don't have infrastructure. So the traditional infrastructure were thought to have the city expand in the in soils outside, eating agricultural soil or other soil. Now that we are within the existing city, we have always to think of the infrastructure, but our infrastructure of a new generation. Infrastructure done inside the city and are done exactly not only to ameliorate what is the situation of the city itself, which is fine, of course, but particularly to create a new economical process. So when they do Brooklyn Park, they don't do Brooklyn Park to have the Brooklynest sign better in the grass. You are very naive to think that. They do that because the whole lands around got an incredible amount of value. So they can do restoration, new buildings, this, down, boom, boom, and that, because they've done that type of new infrastructure within the city. Then also the Brooklyners or the New Yorkers, whatever, think, oh my God, this is fine. But it's not that the only reason, at least. So it's about...
Same with the High Line.
Same exactly with the line. Exactly the same thing with the line. What happened with the line was this bright idea of the, you know how the thing was generated from the bottom. Then they realized that through the high line, the amount of capital was bringing in the area was outrageous.
Highest square foot price in New York.
Incredible. I mean, that was an abandoned land. Nobody would think about it. So the intervention with the infrastructure, of an infrastructure of a new generation, brings important things. Because the whole problem is that we cannot stop development. We'd be crazy, stupid, completely nonsense. We don't have to stop development. We have to redirect development. And we have to redirect development towards the inside of the city. That's it. So This urban green line, I will go 1 second to tell. Okay, I go back to the lecture. Okay, so what it is? It is an infrastructure of a new generation. Out of this, we had a lot of, probably Larca, you got this, but I also put a PDF, download stuff. If you are interested, you will find a lot of things through these links. You can see the old work here with the link, either in the magazine or the EPUB or the book. Anyway, what are the concepts in which it is based? It is based also, in that case, on 5 principles, very important principles. I jump all of this, otherwise I think I'm really killing you. Okay, what are the 5 principles new type of urban infrastructures? What are those? We saw the 5 principles of architectural projects, right? Mixité, rebuilding nature, infrastructuring, driving force, and you always forget one. And what are the principles of a new type of infrastructure in the existing city that is done to redirect the development towards the inside of the city? So first concept, fundamental. New infrastructure is multifunctional. It doesn't do only one thing, it does a lot of things at the same time. So that is the first concept. And this concept of multifunctionality is a concept that goes all the way through our society and all the way through our instruments. We are more and more multitasking. If you imagine what the computer is, if you make a comparison between the great invention of writing of the industrial age, that was the typewriter. What does a typewriter? Silly question. Everybody will answer you. Of course, it types. What do you want to do that a typewriter does? A watch. What a watch do you pretend to do? That does time, right? Ask today a computer what he does. He's fighting, right? Because of the, all that concept of multitasking, monotasking is completely broken within our information technology society. It does lots of things, which is the thing that is more interesting when you have to deal with people of all time. They will never, it's very difficult for them to understand that you can do a lot of things with the same object. So the same concept applies to infrastructure. So it's not only one thing, as you used to think. They do a lot of things. I write articles for each of these keywords in order to make it clear to a general audience in Italy and also to whoever talks with me. So in each article I really open up the thing. This is just an image of one of the many things about this. This is a famous word barrier that was a noise barrier that was done along the highway by the friend Cas Oosterhuis in Holland. And of course, this is something that makes five or six things together, you know. It is a sound barrier, it is a solar collector, it is a kind of urban, extra-urban event because it's very beautiful and can be illuminated. And in certain moment, this infrastructure like a snake move within itself and create a building. So in this part, we see the sound barrier that becomes so this is just to show one thing. But this idea of the multitasking was also, in a way, present in the past. If you think of certain elements like the bridge. The bridge in the past was not just a bridge, as we used to think, was 5 or 10 or 15 things together all the time. Was a dam, was a public, etc. Okay. So the other thing that is fundamental, so that the first thing is multitasking. If you click somewhere, you go to the article with examples. It is in Italian, but with Google Translator, you can have a pretty rough idea what is in there if you want to go deeper. Green system, second absolute thing when we do today infrastructure, they contribute fundamentally to the climate and green equilibrium. We'll be absolutely crazy doing an infrastructure that does not do that. And if you see, they really do that a lot. For example, one of the most interesting cities on that is Freiburg in Germany, that has a very strong developed infrastructure system, and that is also partially working on green surfaces, etc., etc., etc. It's a big area, but again, the Atlanta Belt Line is probably one of the most interesting ones. I really point it out. If you don't know that example, is fantastic example because it was all generated by the bottom. The story also, the Atlanta Belt Line is nice because it's a graduate from the school of the Georgia Tech that started to have this idea, created this brochure. He went here and there and there and there, all closed door. At a certain moment, he found an open door. And there was somebody in the administration that said, aha, this is a good idea. And they've done it. And it's amazing. So this is very interesting in terms of thinking about this. Things. The third one is what I call information technology foam. That means that is a much more intelligent translation of the stupid idea of the smart cities. The smart cities doesn't say much, except it is very easy to understand. This formulation goes exactly with the idea that we are in a space that is in a way solid, contains information. And those information can be activated when we need. That's why I use the word foam or schema to give that idea that cities can be in a state in which information are collected, are already created in models. That means in algorithms, and that algorithms are ready to be operating and transforming the things. Just make, what do I mean? I make an example. An infrastructure like a tramway, can go around the city, right? And can collect information, for example, concerning weather, or concerning pollution, or concerning other things. Imagine, or information concerning the security. Imagine if we move this on the military aspect, that becomes immediately so powerful. But let's just stay to the simplest thing of the weather or the pollution. So we collect this information. What do we do with this information? The information are not just raw, they are not just raw data, but they are organized in models, in algorithms. That means that if something happens, we have the model, the information technology model, that understand when we are running certain risks on certain situations. That means that when there is some peak moment of risk, we are able to transform this information that are operating through models into real action. For example, opening dams, closing dams, moving people from a place to another. Imagine for hurricane or alluvioni or water problems or all sorts of problems. So, in that case, the kind of the infrastructures is part, absolutely has to be part of the information system of to a contemporary city. And this goes with the huge thing that goes with the open data issue, which is an extremely important issue today, you know, that we have the open data. So the fourth is the concept of living accessibility that is fundamentally important. In some cases, you can do a trade-off between 3 minutes or 4 minutes of speed because you get quality of the movement. No? Everybody can do that. You know, in certain cases you don't take the subway, you go by bike, you know that it will take 10 minutes more, but you gain in other aspects. Or in other cases you can go by tramway.
Streetcar
or trolley, because there is a trade-off. In many cases even very minimum, but there is a quality, this is what I mean, of the movement that is very important. And this goes more and more when it's interconnected with other issues, you know, that it is very important. What you can do during the movement, you know, you can do lots of activities if you want. You can engage your body in different ways, your intellect in different ways, your thinking in different ways. So the living, what I call it here, living accessibility, or I call it the slow scape, is another concept. Each one of these goes deeper. I'm just telling you very briefly what is this. And the fifth, I think I call it magic crisis. Oh, sorry. I kind of lost it. Okay. The fifth one, I call it where is it? I lost my lecture. Okay, yeah. And the fifth concept, I call it in different ways, but the whole idea is that there is some symbolic recognition of a population into the infrastructure. There is a kind of mirroring effect between the infrastructure that gives enthusiasm, strength, and optimism, and all these things that are really related to the idea to have a public thing that as a public as a new infrastructure. The success of the High Line in New York, just to make an example, it is also because there is that kind of public identity, the new type of public identity that the infrastructure creates. So the thing that has to do with that aspect is another component. Okay, now we have like 25 projects based on this. We cannot do 25 projects. I'm just going to show you a few, okay? Very few of them, in order that you have a feeling of how we operate within this. And we operate in the case of the Tiber. So after done this work with the, what we call the urban green line, we moved to this other phase, and we thought, all right, but in Rome we have the Tiber. So why
the river Tiber.
So why don't we start to think of the Tiber as an infrastructure of new generation? And again, this is in order to make a lot of games simultaneously. So the whole projects that we do have many aspects simultaneously to deal. All of them are related close to the Tiber, and but they are done with all the intention that I described before. Well, in all these articles, there are lots of examples. Okay, let's see if this one is really works. Okay. So, for example, in this one, that is the first one, I show important examples that are similar to this. This is particularly a fantastic one. This is the Rio Manzanares in Madrid. The group of architects called West 8, a Dutch fantastic group of architects, developed for a very important thickness all this river, and this is the High Line, of course. High Line, again, the High Line showing these other things. Okay, this is the Rio Manzanares. Here it is. But it is much longer than this. And again, this is done exactly with that thing that I was mentioning before. So this is not all, it's done to redevelop the whole area in a kind of a logical private public. Okay. Okay, now I wanted to show, I think they are tired. So my imagination is that it's 3 o'clock, we started at 1:30. What about 15 minutes? They can handle 15 minutes? Yeah?
How are you doing, guys?
Are you ready
for more?
Because the problem is to cook you, but not to burn you. You know, that is the metaphor. So if at the end you are burnt, it doesn't make sense. So I must cook you right. So that's why I'm making this negotiation. So in my imagination, 15 minutes maximum. Okay, then otherwise you get burned. Okay, so in 15 minutes, let's see something for real, in a way. The type of project that we do, I try to do it, I cannot do it too fast, but you have also to understand the type of work that we do. Anyway, here are the links to all the projects, so you can see all of them. I will start with this one. Okay. Why I'm going to start with this one? Because is the situation is really interesting and it shows in action a lot of this situation. We are on the river, close to the belt of Rome, which runs on top of the river, so we are in the outskirts. All the area was an old industrial area that was dedicated to the production of bricks since the time of the Roman. So there were caves close, and not caves, argilla, lo prendevano sul, along the river, and then, so originally was an industrial area. So we started to work on this, so this was a crisis again. What we started to do was interesting to understand the whole evolution of the bridges, because it was clear to us that in order to tackle this area, okay, we had to study a little bit the bridge. We wanted to do a project that reconnect the two parts of the thing. So these are the all work that is let's say a critical analysis of bridges that are interesting from the point of view of the project. So for us, this is not work that is just there to. His work as an architect that is engaged with the real project in a way has to do. Probably does only once in all his life. Because the thesis for us is something that probably many people will never did it again, anything like that. You know? But this is the way that an architect should work in a way. So that is the whole preparation, the preparation work. Then a very important point for us is, okay, what the narrative, okay, these are the whole analysis of the site actual condition, and because the problem here is because there is the belt, the two parts are cut it one from the other. So these two neighbors don't communicate. So there was a problem of communication, a problem of circulation. But the most dramatic problem for us always in this project is what program we are going to make into it. What narrative we have to imagine, because this aspect of the narrative for us is very, very important, because it's what makes the project possible and the project real in a way. It makes plausible the, all the choices of the project. So what after kind of scrutiny we end up arriving is to make a center for the development of the new technology concerning material and materiality. So that will be the place in which you will be the director if we do it, okay? So this is the center of Rome that is developed to developing new technology, new material in terms of the area of construction. And so that makes a lot of sense because of the story of the place. It was a story related to the construction for its location and for the fact that not such a thing exists in Rome, but of course it makes a lot of sense. It's a kind of technopolo of construction, let's say. So again, it's a project of mixité because you need a museum, you need facilities, you need laboratories, you need lots of things, you know, to have within the concept of this. So that once that function, the basic function was done, was thought a lot if that was compatible or not with existing planning, and it pretty much was. This was the existing fabric, the existing factory that can be rehabilitated, and so there is the drawing and all that on this part. And then you start to develop a kind of strategy, how the different functions, experiment, living, showing, collecting, etc., are interrelated. And out of these forces, you start to develop diagrams, basically. You know, the old techniques of the old, now old, but was rather new, techniques of the diagrams that you start to apply to existing poles or to existing aspects of the environment, the site, certain forces that can help you to manipulate the dynamics of the project, something that you, of course, know. Out of that, it becomes a diagram of forces, out of which is you start to generate the project. The key aspect of the project is that must do a lot of things, must incorporate some existing object, must create the bridge and the connecting of the two, and also must be able to generate the forces to have the kind of park or landscape out of it, because you cannot just put a building there, you have to create a series of things. So the project goes on and goes on, because then it gets the architecture, how it looks like, etc. And it moves, you know, all the way through the project in all these parts. This is one that I would say is particularly complex in all the different aspects. But still, this moment for us of the final education that you, at the end, you end up with a project that really is a dense project that is engaged in many levels, for us is important. At the same time, the idea that the project belongs to a larger strategy, that is this larger strategy of Tevere Cavo. So we have many projects like this. I will just show you another one just to give you another sense. These were all the theoretical part about Tevere Cavo. I decided to skip in this particular case because otherwise it was too much. We can see this one. What is this one? This one is a larger section of the river in which the function that has been decided is to use as a park to experiment and also show to the population the old technology that is involved, sustainable architecture and ecological materials and all that. So that part of the river, the idea was to transform it in a park, in an urban park. But it's not only an urban park, it's also a place where you experiment, use and create a knowledge about, a public awareness, I would say, about this thing, which is a rather logical idea. And on top of that, we have, as you always do, some architecture, because, you know, I'm not a landscape architect. Basically, these are projects that move in urban and architectural design. So all this was showing the first part that was showing the why these things are important today, what is the macro system within which this park is moving. It takes quite a space from here to here. And then it's all this area, how this attached to the city. Here this shows all the different technology that can be used and be implemented there. When you start to study things, you discover so many things that are belonging to certain areas, you know, how you start to do some materials or some whatever. You know, today the world is such rich of things, so there is a lot of things that can happen. These are examples. This is the way that some part of the structure around the area can be used actively from an energetic point of view, can use it being used in different ways. Then there is the actual design, how it is done, the design of the river edge on that idea, models of it, and then finally, okay, these are the different technology, different things that are put it there as a show and also to show how they work, etc., etc. So, for example, this is one and many others. And then at the end we had a little building that makes a lot of sense, because this little building is a kind of a little school lab. And the idea is that students from a normal school in Rome can move there for a week and use this as the school and kind of having a week of full immersion within these things. So this is a little school but placed there that is taught as a rotation, kind of a small rotation camp, but it's actually a school and an exhibition things, because at the end we always need also to make architecture. So this is one. And then I just show you another one, because I think within the 15 minutes. Okay, this is one. Okay, this is one very much in fashion. I wanted to show you also something very advanced in terms of modeling, etc. This is a person that was very interesting in, let's say, important modeling and was good in making this. This is a bike center. It's a bike center on the river. That means it's the bike center. That means you can do a lot of things over there in this bike center. So the bike center is the driving force. But again, it's a mixité, it's a place where tourists arrive, it's an hostel, it's a place where you have conference about the bicycle, a place where you repair, buy, do that, all that. And of course, all the building is, you can go around the building by bicycle in all its parts. So that's why, yes, it's kind of octopusy type of form. And the octopusy type of form is because the arms basically attach the building in different paths. There are bike paths around, so they go and then go inside. So this is kind of a little bit, I would say, more type in fashion, Adid Maya type of things, you know. But it makes sense for us within this general thing. And then just a last one. I wanted to show you something This probably, I don't know if this would be interesting. This is another project because we discovered that there is a bridge that was built during the 60s to solve an emergency and then was abandoned. There were only the pilasters, the pillars. So we developed a project as an urban bridge. Over there. And again, there is the research about the urban bridges that is incredible how much in the past all the bridges were built. They were really part of the city. So Ponte de Rialto is not an exception, was the rule. So the bridges was not the monotasking thing that we are used to think, was really something that is a piece of a city on the bridge. That was the normal thing. So all these examples show that, and then at the end, without going too many details, he designed this project that is an urban bridge over there. And then there are others like this one that are more kind of homeopathic type of intervention, that there is a lot of study on the river edge to understand when, where you can operate, how you can operate within this, what type of project you can really do that, and so that is, I would say that this is a kind of more homeopathic, not large project, small project, but they are really attached in a real situation, small situation. And there are two great examples of this. One, it is Paris, because Paris basically had a very stupid relationship with the river. Since 5 years ago, the things changed completely. They completely changed the relationship between the river and the city, more or less with a strategy similar to this one. So basically they tackle and they found different situations. They open up this situation to private intervention of associations, ideas. They support this private bottom-up generating things. And they were able to completely transform the relationship with the river. So that is an example. Berlin a little bit is moving a little bit also in that direction. Actually, I wrote an article about an interesting project in Berlin. Anyway, so you guys can imagine I can go on and on, but I think that is pretty much okay.
There's also a good example in Dallas about this kind of bridge multifunctional, because they recently covered actually a part of the highway.
Yeah.
And they put a park on top.
Okay.
And they put food trucks around.
I didn't know that.
So if the weather is... It's always nice in Dallas, but you know what I mean. Let's say it's not raining, and people actually go there.
I want to see that.
They're on top of the highway. They sit in the grass. There is a pavilion. There can be music.
I want to see that. I was not aware of this one in Dallas.
I mean, for a city in Texas, it's pretty unique. Right? I mean, it's kind of that is kind of exactly that topic.
I want to really see.
Relate to So you guys have any comments, questions, maybe right now to what?
Yes, through the link. You did not follow the link, probably. I'll show you how to go to do. I will do just this. You go in Google. Okay. You go in Google. Okay. You put my name. This is the only thing that you must know. My name is Antonino Saggio. Okay. You go there. And then this is the lecture. I put it an hidden link. So if you click anywhere, there is nothing. But if you click here, where the stadium is, you see? You are there. We are in internet. So everything that you've seen is there. Okay? And the important thing is that basically, since it's all link-based, you can, jump and go whenever you want and see the things, read the books or whatever you are interested. It
takes a couple of years to kind of...
No, it's okay. But the idea is you go where your heart brings you, your imagination, your desire goes. So you go in one or the other, not necessarily in the whole thing. So you enjoy the lecture? Good. Make an applause then, so we liberated ourselves by this tension. We are not sure. Now we can talk a little bit more. If you have any questions, do whatever question or comments you are willing to, if you want. I'd like to have questions. Who participated to the experience in downtown on this group with you? One?
Ty.
One, two?
Jason.
Three?
Two people. Who went to Urban Stage last year? Yeah, couple of more.
In the master program, they have to do a thesis also, or it's just when they finish their courses, that's over?
No, we abolished the thesis many years ago, because now what we offer the students is they go into the graduate program,
mm-hmm.
and then the first studio they do is a comprehensive, the so-called comprehensive design project. Mm-hmm. That means they have to do a real building, a real site with everything in there. And it satisfies the NAB accreditation criteria, and there's a lot for that.
Mm-hmm.
So we pack all those criteria in there. And after that, then the students are free.
Mm-hmm.
They can do what they want. They can follow their passions. They can choose any professor in the college and do what we call a topic studio and do research.
Oh, okay. So there's not a design part. It's more a research on something.
No, they can design. Oh. We offer topic studios where they can go into fabrication, they can build something, study materials. There's urban classes where they can do like this, really, like analyze an urban situation into an urban project. They can do an architecture. They can do what they want.
Okay.
But there's no pressure anymore. So the thesis, we took it off the shoulder. We say, mm-hmm. once you run through comprehensive and you know how to put the building together, so to say, and it's kind of a 9-credit-hour class, so to say, so five days a week. Mm-hmm. After that, you just go into architecture and you do what your passions are.
I see.
Good. So the only thesis we have is postgraduate. So in my case, digital design and fabrication program, we have several faculty teaching in there, and each of those faculty can follow some students and do a thesis on the postgraduate level. It is mostly then more design and research related. But the master program does not have really a thesis. So I think for all of you, some of those projects that might reflect maybe sometimes really what they also do in a topic studio. So there's space research, you analyze a site, maybe you analyze certain programmatics that you feel engaged to, and then you propose maybe either on urban scale or a technical scale some kind of solution. But they don't have much time. You really, I think in your case, as you say, it can be how long?
No, they can be, I think, 6 months,
six months.
Real work.
Right. So and now
it would be very rare that can be done in less than 6 months. More normal is 9.
Mm-hmm. So in their case, if they do a topic studio, they have 15 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to kind of nail a project down and they go on to the next topic studio. What do you think about that, guys? Is it kind of interesting to have this kind of deep analysis and kind of sometimes large urban scale, the question of the crisis on an urban situation.
Yeah. It's like a long period of time since, well, by the amount of research that you showed us, it seems like there's more research first than applying it. And I'm assuming it has to do with the longer amount of time that they have to do their project. Because I know the research we do is important, but I don't know that it goes into that length.
How can I say? In all my experience and my thing, it shouldn't be any substantial difference between the research and the design. This is the whole thing. You can design can be a very fast activity, design per se, if you have a clear idea, if you know what you're going to do. Design, generally speaking, is not a long thing. The long thing are the other aspects.
So I never create a strong difference between the research part and the actual development of design part. Just to make an example, the study of all these bridges, for example, no, and brought so the research on that allowed to make very brief, in a very short time, the decision which type of bridge you are going to do and for what reason. So are really integral part of the thing. There is not a and I think this is very much similar to what a normal activity of an architect must be, because in many cases you are not able to solve certain things because you just don't know. You don't know that a material exists, you don't know that a distribution solution exists, you don't know how to face certain issues, so you put months or something that just a short period of study will allow you to solve much more efficiently. No, I don't know if I really answered to your question. Did I? Kind of?
Yeah,
it's really combined. It's really combined for us. And I think it has to be combined. Because otherwise, if there is something not correct, then it's not used, it's not important, it's not necessary. The whole idea is that it's necessary. So otherwise, why do it otherwise? Good.
Okay. No, any other questions? No?
It seems all right.
Okay, good. So then my class, I think we have a little bit of time. We will benefit from, what time is it? Okay, so 3:16. So we will benefit from the possibility of having Professor Sadru here and review some of my class projects. You can all stay here, those students that have come from outside. Or you can follow your own class.
How are you doing?
Good.
Thank you for coming, by the way. I hope you enjoy.
You became 10, right? Good, congratulations.
Who has the flash key?
No, I'm going there. I'm going to something. And then to back in. Something a little tour.
You put your stuff on a flash key?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, we reconnect.
Okay, you have it on? Okay.
Oh, okay. Ah, sì, grazie. Dopo tutto quel taco.
Oh, you didn't?